Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. I am Michael Petro. Hello, listener. This week on the show, we got a new format for you. We're debating. We're mass debating. Me, Martin Navarro, and Charles Fernandez have what we've called the pitch-off, which is a brand new format where we take two of our favorite shows or movies or whatever piece of media we can find. We combine it into one, and then we pitch our favorite actor or actress that this should be their next film or project. We're going to start off with one of the most notorious actors in the game, Mr. Nicolas Cage, and we are pitching him a Star Wars film, a romantic drama, also a musical set in a prison, and a reality TV show will be pitched to Mr. Cage this week. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. Important things to note, if you want to come to a fun trivia night, you've probably heard me talk about this the last couple months. April 27th, we're hosting our first trivia night. It's Real Debaters, live from the Little Brown Jug, 336 William Avenue, in the heart of the Exchange District in our hometown of Winnipeg. And it's going to be fun. We got three rounds of trivia starting at 7, ending hopefully around 9. First round, general movie knowledge. Second round, the great 80s. Third round, Disney meets Pixar. This isn't movie Jeopardy. This is more like Seen It. Because we're going to have some clips, we're going to have some songs, we're going to have maybe a few interpretations, reenactments, impressions, if you will, and we'll have microphones moving around the room. So if you have an opinion, we're going to record the show, and then we can put you on it and get it out to the world. This is very interactive. We like interacting with people who come to our events. We like to make it we zhuzh it, so to speak. So that's April 27th. Tickets are on sale right now on Eventbrite, or if you head to our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, head to the link in our bio, or even the show notes. Below this episode right now. There's a link there. Hit it. Takes you right to Eventbrite. Tickets for $5. Max teams of 4. So you can show up as a twosome. You can even show up by yourself if you want. And the winning team will be sent off to Landmark Theaters courtesy of us. You'll have a movie night from us. Probably a couple free beers in there too from Little Brown Jug because they're awesome. So come. Buy your tickets right now. There's only 19 of them left, actually. Room for 60 people. Again, max teams of 4. So don't show up as a 6-some or an 8-some or whatever the fuck that number is, because we'll have to break you up. We don't want to do that. And yeah, we just want you to come, have fun, interact with us, drink some beer, go home better for it. Don't let FOMO win. Don't wake up on Friday morning and be like, damn it, I should have done that. Just come. Try us out. If you don't like us, worst thing. It's $5. And you had some good beer in the process. So again, April 27th, 7 to 9 p.m., Real Debaters doing some movie trivia for you. That's all I got for you. So I'll cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. Welcome to where the art of cinema meets the power of debate. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Petro. Across from me is
the power.
And what's out in Vancouver?
I'm trying to hide my face behind this microphone because I am extremely hungover.
With the
Martin
power.
Navarro.
Martin Navarro.
a boy who drank a little too much last night. A lot of Jameson. I'm just calling me Jameson tonight.
All right, that's fine. Jameson, Vancouver, yeah. Jameson. Hello, listener. Welcome back to the show. This week, we've got a lovely debate planned for you. This is Martin's baby. We'll preface right now by saying that it's a new style. Right, Martin? We haven't done this before, I don't think.
No, this is something I came up with because of one of my favorite love-to-hate actors.
Which, you know what? You explain where this idea came from, and then I'll explain how we're going to do it.
Yeah, so I was just, I don't know, I was watching, I can't remember what movie I was watching. I was watching a Nick Cage movie.
Con Air?
And then I was like, it wasn't Con Air. It was something recent. I can't remember what it was, but I was watching a Nick Cage movie, and I'm like, I wonder if he just gets his roles by, like, throwing two darts on a dartboard, and there's a bunch of movies, and then he's like, well, these are the two movies that I'm going to be doing based on these two darts. So he just kind of picks his roles by throwing darts on a dartboard, and there's two movies, and you combine them, and that's it. Let's say Leaving Las Vegas meets Saw.
And we're going to incorporate this into the show going forward. This is one of our new formats where we sit down and we find an actor and we do exactly what Nick Cage does. We combine two movies and we pitch him like we're a new writer, right? Like we've got a new idea and we want Nick Cage to do in this. So what you're going to hear today is you're going to hear three different, as close to Hollywood standard pitches as possible. Best pitch wins. We're going to call this the pitch off.
Elevator pitch, Michael. Just quick, short, sweet, because you got to get him within the first 30 seconds.
You got to entice him.
Entice him in 3 minutes, basically.
So that's what's on the docket for you today, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into it. Charles, anything on the channel that you want to bump? No.
Happy
school's
to be
been weighing you down?
Yeah, no. School. The Nerdies will be out shortly.
Okay.
The nominations are out. You can see the nominations list on the Instagram page. Yeah, and the video will be coming out very soon. I'm excited about it because there's some really good winners on the shitty side and the hero side. So.
Nice. And that's in our link in bio, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everybody. Real Debaters Podcast, you can see everybody's Instagram shit there. Martin, what do you got coming up? Anything? I think you got something coming up on the 16th, right?
Yep, I have. We're back in Gastown at Clue Club doing another comedy show with headliner Ola Dada. He was... I think he made it pretty far in last seasons of Canada's Got Talent.
Nice.
So, and he's a Vancouver-based comedian. I've worked with him a lot of times. He's great, funny. And I'll also be in Winnipeg on April 21st at The Basement in the Howard Johnson doing some comedy there.
Hojo.
So come by.
Have you been to The Basement yet, Charles?
No.
You're coming.
I'm so pumped.
Yeah, no, I'll be there for sure.
It is the nicest place in the basement of the shittiest place in Winnipeg.
Really, eh?
Yeah. I mean, the Hojo. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, really impressed with what Winnipeg did with that place. Like to see that level of lounge in Winnipeg, very impressive.
And you walk through a broom closet to get into it because it's a speakeasy.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's the best part of the hotel.
Dude, that's dope. I'm excited. I never even knew about this place until you brought it up, Martin. So, I'm so
pumped. I'm glad to give you and our listeners a little bit of a heads up of the coolest things to do in Winnipeg. So.
Yeah.
And again, if you want to follow all that comedy in Vancouver or in Winnipeg, head to the link in our bio, listener, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on repeat today. You can follow Martin and everybody else in the show and all their side shit. You can follow Emily's Dodgeball, Mark's Comics, Charles's channel, Jimmy and Martin's Comedy. And I'm in everything, so you'll get bored of me real fast. But, and for us, if you haven't got your tickets yet, April 27th, live from Little Brown Jug, we are doing Real Debaters Does Trivia. And we like to record everything, so we're going to be recording that night as well.
Yeah.
Might make it to air, might not, but, you know, it's good to have footage.
Also, it's movie trivia.
Right?
And it's good movie trivia. It's
right?
It's so fun.
So we can tell you a little bit more about it now because we've solidified some stuff. We've got three rounds for you, and this is interactive trivia. I want to stress this. You know, you go to a normal trivia night, and you get asked a question, and you answer it, and then you share your answers, and people mark it. And that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
We want to bring the movie atmosphere to trivia. So we've got three rounds full of clips, songs, scenes, possible idiotic impressions from us. We want this to be a show more than just you answering stuff and possibly winning prizes. So in that, we have three rounds. We have general movie knowledge trivia for first round, which is like stuff in the ether, stuff that a lot of people would know. Fun questions, not nothing. Your grandma might know one or two of these answers. Number two round is the great 80s.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
One of the craziest eras of making film, right?
That one's fun.
Where, like, the wheels fell off everything and no story was ever turned away. So if you know these answers, your age is probably going to show. And this is for, like, the...
What's up?
What? Yeah, right? Definitely. And then round three is Disney meets Pixar, the best of both worlds, right?
That's
we're
going to
combine the two of them. It's 10 questions per round, max teams of four. $5 a ticket. It's so fucking cheap. And then there's delicious beer from Little Brown Jug at the same time. So April 27th, tickets on Eventbrite. You can buy them now. There's only 60 of them available because it's a small, intimate environment.
That's right.
And, we hope to see you there. We're going to do a lot more of these. We'll tell you right now, this is our first one, so be kind. Be patient.
Yeah.
Be kind, rewind.
Yeah.
And also, you're getting a new, like Mike said, you're getting a new experience. Think like one of my favorite board games, Seen It.
Yes.
Yeah, think like that.
Very much good comparison.
Yeah, very much like we're going to give you that we're going to give you that full experience.
Here's a question example just to kind of entice you guys. Who's this 90s heartthrob is clueless, ageless, and variable in size. Who might that be?
Mr. Paul Rudd.
Oh, very good, sir. Very good. So if questions like that entice you, which there'll be some easier ones and some fun ones, but either way.
But as Mike's saying it could have a photo of said gentleman.
A song.
Yeah, it could have like a quick clip.
Mac and me.
Right. I think like, or it could be like when people get it right, we play the answer. And
right,
the answer
exactly.
is revealed, right? Yeah.
There's
like,
lots
it's cool.
of ways.
It's cool.
We're finishing those questions today for you listeners. So again, April 27th, 7 to 9 p.m., Little Brown Jug, 336 William Avenue. Tickets are $5. Get them at Eventbrite. And that is the end of the shameless promotion section of the show. Let's get on to it. What's the order this week? We got Charles going up first. So let's step off this mortal fucking coil. Talk about what we watched. What'd you watch, Charles?
Oh, man. You know, funny enough, last week I've actually caught up on some stuff. Seen some stuff.
You've been buried in the Red River Recom course curse.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, that's been my life. It's been hell, but it's been, you know, now I see the light. So, but something, the thing that's really stayed in my head, something that I'm like, hey, I can't wait to see this again right away, John Wick 4.
Yeah, I saw
I saw that too.
Okay.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, I love it when this happens.
Oh. Oh.
Take us away.
It's incredible. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's.
Can I ask you a question, Charles, before you start?
Of course, yeah.
There was, I won't spoil anything, but there was one part in the movie in the beginning where I started smiling and just never stopped smiling after that. I don't know if you know, but I'm Asian. That's a hint. And there's something that Asians did in the movie where I'm just like, I'm smiling.
Are you being coy and talking the samurai aspect of it? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about they go to all over the world, right, Charles?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the part where they go to Japan.
Oh, yeah, my God. So, Martin, it's so amazing you bring this up because it was one of those moments where Claudia had no, it was probably gobbledygook to her, but I had to say something. And I'm like, this is the guy that's going to direct Ghost of Tsushima. And there's a huge sequence in the movie that is just like, oh, Ghost of Tsushima. Like, he is giving you, he's giving you Ghost of Tsushima without people realizing it's Ghost of Tsushima.
Is that the video game?
Yeah.
Turned into
it's so good. It's
a
samurai. It's on PS4, you got to get it.
Dude,
you
it's incredible.
Get it.
Okay.
It's incredible. But yeah, it's, and like, it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, I love that they're getting this team to do it. And I wouldn't be shocked if Donnie Yen has something to do with it. And I hate that I always forget his name, but he plays Scorpion in the new Mortal Kombat.
Oh, he's the guy. He's also in Last Samurai as well.
Yes.
He's in Westworld too.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be shocked if him and Donnie Yen have something to do, because I'm already like, that scene specifically, I'm already envisioning the characters they would play.
Well, I imagine him playing the uncle.
Totally. Like 1,000%. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was, it's unbelievable. Like the way he, like, it's the whole movie itself, there are so many sequences in it where, like, now I'm seeing interviews and I'm laughing because they're like, oh yeah, like this is taken out of our favorite video game sequence, which is blah, blah, blah. And IGN does a nice, like, showing you the video game, showing you the clip of the movie, and you're just like, holy fuck. Like, there's one specifically where even Claudia was laughing, where she's like, this is like a video game. It goes bird's eye view.
Oh, you're talking about
and
the dragon breast.
That was the one, yeah, the one camera shot. That was the one camera shot that I really enjoyed.
Like, unbelievable. Did you guys catch that it's there's one spot they could have cut, but I think it's a one take for both sequences.
I mean, if it's not, I would be shocked, because even like looking at it from an editing, like I can tell you, they put that shot on as a single shot way longer than I would have ever thought.
They did it twice. They pulled away and then they came back to it.
Yeah, huge, huge. And like, clearly it was because it was one take. Something happened in the middle there, but they knew they could use that.
They went over the beam, and I think when it went black for like a half second, like you could cut
maybe
there.
It hit something or whatnot.
Yeah.
But even the idea of dragon breath bullets is such a video game thing.
Well, incendiary ammo.
They show that one shot.
Yeah, with the box.
With the box. And I'm like, why are we showing this? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is why.
It was so fucking good.
It was unbelievable. Was like, unbelievable.
Dude, I was like the Simpsons when I was like, when are we going to get to the fireworks factory? I remember seeing that. I'm like, oh, God, they're using incendiary ammo. When is this going to happen? I was like, all the time, like, get through it, and they get to it, and like, oh yeah,
it's unbelievable.
The story is so simple. It's John Wick trying to get out from under the table. That's it. And it's like eight action sequences back to back.
Oh my God! But like, they go all out. Like, it's
they're 15 minutes in some cases.
Man, it's nuts. I would. It was one of those things where just the way they would frame things up and show you the scope of like what you're about to get into. It was one, I've been saying this for years, but it was one of those things where I looked at Claudia and I'm like, the fact that there's no even recognition, like, I think the Oscars is a joke, but the fact that there's not even an Oscar recognizing what these guys do, somebody goes down a flight of stairs, Mike, like a whole.
Oh, dude, I saw it.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah.
Remember?
When
how, like, I want to see the raw footage of that. That guy went down those stairs, man. Yeah.
So, like,
it's insane.
The best part is when the DJ's playing those songs and she's like, have fun with those 222 scares, John Wayne.
Yeah.
Stairs.
Yeah.
And he gets all the way up and you're like, wow, that was insane. And then big fucking Spanish right. dude kicks him back down.
And it's such a video game
so good.
Thing.
It is.
It's, and then you go back.
New life reset.
Yeah. And then it's like, player two has arrived. Donnie Yen shows up and it's like, hey, here we go, right? Like, it was so cool.
Donnie
like,
Yen's character
he's
was
amazing.
My favorite side
yeah.
character.
Yeah.
He his... was. Oh, shout out to Lance Kendrick, too. The late Lance Kendrick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good he call.
As yeah. his last movie, one of his last movies, I was like, ah. Oh,
unbelievable.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The,
yeah.
The blind assassin
yeah.
is just so old school cool.
Yeah.
And
it's your
that's
classic.
Totally samurai. That's samurai. That's
yes.
totally samurai.
Yeah, and it's him, so classic.
When the
or kung
when,
fu
when the blade comes out and when he when, that scene when they're in the art gallery.
Yeah,
and he's
oh my
tapping.
God.
Yeah,
and they're shooting through shit.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
God. And the nunchuck yeah. sequence.
Dude,
oh yeah. my yeah.
god, best. The nunchuck was the best sequence. I don't think there's been anything other than Enter the Dragon where it's been that prevalent.
Him.
That was a great nunchaku sequence.
When he started holding the nunchucks like a bat and was swinging yeah. it like a bat. Oh my god, it was insane.
And you figure. Okay, we'll get a couple sequences with it, and he'll blaze it and throw it away.
No,
nope,
no.
He throws it around his neck.
Oh,
he
yeah.
does a break with it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the fuck? Because,
again,
happening?
Like, if I was in a video game, I'm going to hold on to this until it breaks or says I cannot have it anymore. Right?
Yes.
And that's
yeah.
what he does. And I'm like, this is awesome. Like, yeah.
Can
yeah,
I just
it
say
was
this
unbelievable.
About the John Wick movies. And I just want to preface by saying The Real Debaters does not condone any use of illicit drugs. But if you've ever wondered what cocaine is like, it's watching John Wick movies. Like your heart races for 30 minutes, comes down, there's a little bit of a lull, you do another bump, and then your heart races again for 30 minutes. And there's a lot, like, you know, there's peaks and valleys with that. And that's what I think the John Wick movies are. It's cocaine.
Yeah, definitely. Like when you need another bump. I could have.
So good.
I
John Wick, not cocaine. Sorry.
yes. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. If I could complain about anything, length, like the sequences are all great, but some of them could have been pulled in a little bit. Just a
that
little bit.
That was the
bit.
Longest one, wasn't it, Michael? I think.
The,
2.5 hours?
2 hours and 39
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, this was a long, man, I didn't, honestly, I didn't even feel like it was
I didn't feel
that
like 2 hours and 39 minutes either. I didn't at all.
I was sweating I the whole time, I think, that's why.
Oh, I came out, my Apple Watch was like, are you okay?
Yeah, you are having a minor heart attack.
And yeah. there was a point where he looked exhausted and tired, and then they turned it back on again. And I was like, have him walk off at this point, because all that third act fighting stuff, that was my favorite, right? The dragon's breath, the stairs.
Oh, that's great.
You know what?
Working his way through the Arc de Triomphe, like all that stuff was what we were building to. You could have just trimmed each fight sequence maybe down by 4 minutes, and you would have still
had. But
then
we wouldn't have as many dick shots, Mike. There's so many dick shots in that.
Yeah,
that's true.
So many dick hits.
Oh,
I was
also,
like laughing.
Going like so.
It's very true.
The two things I going back to Donnie Yen, I just love the way that he even approached the character. Like when he would crawl, because
yes.
they'd be shooting above him, and as a blind person, yeah, he'd be like, no one shoots the ground,
right?
So I'm gonna run on the ground. Like it was wild. It was wild how he would tap as he'd be like cutting them up. And
yeah,
he would
yeah.
also be knowing where other people are by tapping as he's like fucking just knifing this guy.
How about bulletproof suits for a second?
Yeah, it's great.
That
I love it.
Crazy.
I love
that
it.
That was awesome.
The amount of seeing someone hold up their jacket and you're like, yeah. Again, a very video game thing that I'm like, yup, this is awesome.
And like gung fu, not kung
yeah, yeah,
fu,
yeah,
but
yeah.
the gung fu
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like sword.
That reminded me of the what was that movie? Equilibrium.
Yes.
Equilibrium.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Like sword, gunshot, sword, yeah. gunshot. Like totally, totally.
Ugh.
And when Keanu looked at the character, but really the audience, the camera, and was like, "Beloved husband." That's when
yeah.
I knew. I'm like, oh fuck.
Now, spoiler alert, ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen.
That's like you kind of. That's when I first felt. I'm like, oh no. But
well,
like, it makes sense.
And like. It's all for Helen.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all for, it's
yeah.
like you fucking woke up the beast.
Yeah.
And you're not, until I can rest and see her, you're done.
Daisy
well,
was
like,
the last thing, right?
That's what, that was basically, I just want to bring it back to another thing that I loved this year that came out, like Last of Us with, what's his name? Nick Offerman's character. That
yeah.
was, that's a totally, like that's Keanu Reeves, him and the same, you know?
Yeah.
Just the fact that anyone who gets in our way, those fuckers are going to die. He's a protector, and that's what happens when the protector loses his purpose, right? So,
do you guys want to see a John, a prequel? Because we need to know what put Baba Yaga into retirement, I think.
I would love to see something, maybe a something that explains what he did to get out.
I like it's so funny. It's like seeing Terminator without Arnold, like seeing John without Keanu, because I can't see them doing a fucking prequel with Keanu. That'd be ridiculous.
No, we're not going to de-age him. But
aren't they doing the ballerina? But they're going to have him come back maybe in the ballerina, because it's supposed to be set in that time, right?
He's still alive in the ballerina.
Yeah,
that's an offshoot of like where a lot of the assassins, I think. It'll be an assassin world.
I heard it's like during, because in John Wick 2, he goes to the ballerina headquarters.
Yes. Yeah.
And Angelica Hudson. Or
that's right. The theater they're in. And she does the hand thing.
That's right. And she's back. She's back. And because she's the one that runs the ballerina.
The Russian ballerinas.
Yeah. And then Anna de Abrams is.
Anna de Armas.
Anna de Armas is playing one of the. She's playing the lead.
Anna de Leg or Anna de Armas?
Anna de Armas. It's Anna de Armas is playing the lead. Sorry, brain's a little slow. I'm hungover. So.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah,
I just love the delayed reaction was cute.
I don't think it's a huge world. Like the Continental show's coming out set in the 70s.
That's what I want to see. I want to see more of this world.
How do we get
like
a manager?
The assassin
how do we
aspect,
get a
like
concierge?
The
and even where John Wick ended, it can continue because, like, what's his face? Winston's getting the concierge back. Or the Continental back.
He's getting
the Continental back. But it's a new era of it, obviously.
Well, they could
what
do
does that look
the
like?
The revolution, because Morgan Freeman wants to revolt against the table, right? So there's still more story that could be told.
I would just also like to point out that now that John Wick 4 has happened,
Lawrence Fishburne, not Morgan Freeman. My bad.
Both perfect. I would like to point out that I wish we had done the dog debate post John Wick 4, because I would have picked that German Shepherd.
You would have won, Mike. You probably would have won, because that dog was dope.
Hell, it is.
That was a good dog.
That is, fuck off. That scene when John Wick's like, I'm going to shoot you, or I'm going to shoot the guy who's going to shoot your dog.
Yeah.
And that's when he gets him on his side. Yeah. I was like, how a puppy bridges the gap.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, and again, and like, it's one of those moments where you're like, this is going to come back to help him in the end, obviously.
Yeah.
This guy owes him. His dog's life.
He's on the phone with the marquee, and he's like $40 million now, and he just hangs up.
Yeah, that was great.
Negotiating
up. Yeah, I like when I have to say one thing, and it's just being a nerd. I did love the continuity because when he did that, Skarsgård broke the phone, and then the next clip, there's a man holding like a landline, and he's using that to call him back. I just as a nerd, I'm like, that was a really nice touch that they acknowledged that he smashed a wireless phone, and then a fucking servant holding this
like a landline.
Yeah, and it's like a fucking 1920 phone that he's like, hello.
Thomas Edison.
It's a rich person phone. It's just a show of his status, how rich he is.
No,
like,
it's
a rich person phone.
It's one of those nice villain touches that you're like, what a piece of shit. Like, you know, like it makes you just hate him more. But I thought that was a funny touch. Like, yeah, because he's like $4 million now, and then he like fucking just smashes the phone. Yeah, and then he cuts to him calling back, and he's like, okay. Skarsgård grew on me. At first I was like, oh no, but by the end I was like, he is the worst best villain ever. I love it.
You know what made me hate him the most was that every suit was the same but different. I was like, fucking have some like
a tint of color.
Yeah,
that'd
like,
be it.
Well, no,
yeah.
The color was fine, but it was the same cut.
That's what
the
I mean.
Same
he would just change a color.
Yeah.
And then it would be like, oh, I'm supposed to think like, wow. Yeah.
I'm like, that vest that curved over on like his like 12-button fucking vest.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes him look like a servant himself. I was like, just change your suit, man. Like,
dude, I was craving some red velvet cake.
Son of a bitch,
like,
hey, right?
So I'm like, I'm craving some red velvet cake right now.
Also, I totally see why they made him Pennywise. He's so tall and lanky when you see him in like a suit. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. He was probably terrifying on set.
And how in the end it's like he's useless. He's not an assassin. Like
no, he sucks. He's just a figurehead. He knows nothing.
He used Donnie Yen's character as a proxy.
Yeah. Right away. He's like my champion.
Right?
Blah blah blah.
Like what is this fucking Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, what a bullshit move. Yeah.
Fucking Tyrion.
Yeah. He's like a shareholder. It's a classic shareholder. They know nothing of what they're doing. They're just like, I am here because I'm told and I have status and that's when everyone listens.
I'm 1%.
That's why I'm here. Yeah.
I'm 1%.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because when that scene happens, right away I'm like, John has not shot and he's not dead. Like, John's wounded, but I'm like, he has not shot his gun and he seems to still be breathing. That's dangerous.
Martin, did you catch that?
Oh, I caught it for sure.
Yeah,
right away.
I don't think he shot off his gun. He's still got a round left, so I mean, he's
right
still
away.
Alive.
I was like, right away. I was like, I heard one shot and I see John wounded but not dead.
Yeah.
And Skarsgård's like running up. Hello. I was like, uh-oh.
And then consequences.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. And I love that he still walks away. Like, he does a classic John Wick walk away still.
The dead
like,
limp.
Yeah. But he's still like, peace. Yeah. I won't do it right here.
Can
I'll
ask you guys a question?
Steps.
Yeah.
So are they, because I know Keanu commented they're not doing John Wick movies now, but they will be doing more in the future is what he said, right?
Yeah.
Did you
I
guys hear that?
So I don't know if that was like a way to like.
Chad Stahelski, the director, sorry if I mispronounce it, did say that they would revisit it. Not how, but they would. There is, and I mean, okay, for all intents and purposes, spoiler alert, listener, if you haven't seen it yet, there is some assumption that we have lost Deerwick. But again, if you didn't see him die.
We don't see him actually die.
Exactly. Yeah. The rule is, if you don't see him die, we saw him pass out. We didn't see him die.
Yeah.
And then we cut to a tombstone. Now, does John Wick want to go even deeper into disappearance and fake a death? Because
that's a way
we can bring him back, and we're all going to be sympathetic to a fake death because John wants to disappear.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or they revisit like maybe a prequel of how he got out.
Yeah, see,
I think
like,
a young Finn Wolfhard as a young John Wick.
Well, like, it doesn't have. They didn't say necessarily that they would be bringing back Keanu as John Wick, but they said they will be doing more John Wick movies. So recast if a younger him.
Yeah. We need to know the fall. We need to see Helen because she's a name.
I don't want to see him at his prime.
Well,
yeah.
They could have said that because I'll be honest, I do a pretty good job of staying away from spoilers. I didn't have anything spoiled for me. So when I went into it, I did not expect the ending. Like I'm telling you, it wasn't
neither
until that
I.
point I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when I saw those quotes after seeing it, I'm like, I wonder if that's just something they do in good nature so it still derails people from the ending.
Because if they said something
really on the nose, then you're like, oh, so he dies at the end, I guess? You know what I mean? Right? So I wonder if those are blunt comments that they just make to just be good sports because the movie's still out and new. But like in 2 years, if they make a comment, that'll be more literal of like no or yes.
The rise happens, then it falls into the ether and it's forgotten.
Because I agree with you guys. I think they definitely made it in a way where if he returns, it makes sense. Like it's believable.
Yeah.
But if they also don't ever return, it's a nice buy.
We have an O.
Yeah.
You have a couple O's. Right?
Yeah. And that's why I kind of hope, like I love John Wick, but I do kind of hope it's his farewell because it's fucking awesome. Like what a great farewell to a character.
Yeah, you can't. Do more than you've already. Like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna fight in space?
Like, yeah, like
Tom
you can't
Cruise this shit.
Don't Fast and Furious.
Well, I mean, let's Nick Cage it.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, Martin, you go first. How many fights around the Arc de Triomphe do you give it?
I'm giving it 9 loops.
9 loops.
I love 9 loops out of 10. 9 loops out of 10.
That's great.
How many stairs to the Sacré-Cœur Sacred Heart Church out of 10 do you give it, Charles?
Oh, my God. I give it all the stairs.
All the stairs.
Yeah, I'd say, like, honestly, I'd give it, like, a fucking 10. I loved it.
It's great.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm going to give it 9.5 dragon breath buckshots out of 10.
That's great.
My only complaint is length. Like, just for an action movie,
I'm trained
to know an hour 40, maybe two at most.
Mm. For sure.
So this was a lot of, like, this was just a lot of energy that I had to expel. Like, I was like, I wasn't ready. And we did the 6:15 show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not buy
enough
hamburgers, Mike, or cheeseburgers?
I didn't buy enough. I didn't know there'd be a fourth fucking act of, like, all
there
fighting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was wild.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, Martin, what about you? Would you want? Is this something that we've all seen too?
You're next, though.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm next. Well, I had John Wick. So how about you want to do Mandalorian?
I'm going to do something else.
Okay, fine.
Perfect. I also had John Wick, but I can go somewhere else.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Hotel. So, Mandalorian. We're back, right? Like,
Mandalorian.
This season has... I guess people are so butthurt about the hard rights that happened in Boba Fett, where it became Mandalorian 2.5. And then they did one episode like this season, which was the Empire Scraps becoming...
The
Convert, yeah. And that episode, I'll admit, I was a little butthurt because it was another hard right.
Yeah.
But now that what we're going to talk about later is going to wrap this in, but now that we understand that this is good world building and that we now understand that there are scraps from the Empire who are now being introduced into the New Republic, and it's just as dark as if the Empire was doing it. And Mandalorian and Bo-Katan and Grogu are like the light in all of this. And that is true Star Wars.
They're the new hope.
They're the new, exactly.
Yeah.
And watching this last week's episode where Bo-Katan, I mean, I'm so glad she's got that fucking black saber.
Awesome.
Katee Sackhoff has my heart.
Like, yeah, I know. And like, they're very much listening to fans. Fans have been saying since day one, like, why does she not have it? I love Jin to death, but fuck, man. Seeing him be clumsy. No one wants to see a clumsy Jedi for that long.
And you fight with spears
and
rocket packs and missiles. Yeah. You don't fight with a lightsaber.
Yeah. And every time we've seen her with it, she's amazing.
Exactly.
Well, I'll just give a little bit of the history on that. The dark saber, basically what this show is doing is setting up the Ahsoka series. Because Bo-Katan had the dark saber before...
Did she have it in the Clone Wars?
That's the Skywalker saga.
Okay.
Before the Skywalker saga.
Okay.
So that's when she got it. She's more trained to use it because she's had it for a long time. Right?
Wow.
And lost it when the Empire destroyed Mandalore. So like basically a lot of what is happening with this show, especially this season, they've already introduced, they had a big cameo, which is Zeb. I can't remember what his race was, but
the purple
he was
guy,
in
right?
the episode where the guy from Kim's Convenience, the captain.
Oh, the rebel pilot, yeah.
At the bar.
He's the guy who talks to him when he's getting that message about when he gets the message at the bar. He's the alien that talks to him. That's Zeb. He's a main character in Star Wars Rebels. So
Rebels.
And he was a big part in the Ahsoka. It's gonna be a big part in the Ahsoka series, basically. Which explores another master and apprentice Jedi.
And that's the thing is that
Order 66.
When you realize that and you stop thinking linear and you start thinking adventure, right? Like very small, subtle storyline that carries you through each episode, but each is its own adventure, right? Yeah. And watching last week's episode, you got planet jumping, you got pirates, you got redemption, you got the light. Like, you get all these things that are from different pieces of Star Wars, and it finally clicked where I'm like, okay, don't expect a standard format progressive series. Expect... enough to be dropped into peppered and make you happy, but if they do step outside the lines, it will make sense. Go, Martin.
Just to also mention too, I don't know if you remember when they go to Mandalore, Din gets captured by that weird alien.
Yes,
Bo-Katan has to rescue him, right?
Yeah, the green guy.
So I don't know if you remember the move where she does, where she uses her like cable to kind of hold a darksaber to her.
Yeah.
Was a move taught by a different Mandalorian who was a big part in the Star Wars Rebel series, where she was like, so a Jedi teaches a Mandalorian how to use a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And then I think she taught Bo-Katan how to use the lightsaber as well, because she was taught by a Jedi. So, because they don't have force power, right? The Mandalorians don't have force power, so that's kind of their force power, like, to pull the darksaber to them.
That's cool.
That was like a move that was taught from a Jedi.
That's cool. And see, I just, this morning, with all the announcements that came through, which we're going to talk about shortly, listener, but with all the announcements that came out, I started Clone Wars. I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah,
I'm missing such a huge chunk.
Yeah, I want to get the inside.
I want to get the inside, so I found the timeline image. I'm actually going to print it and put it in here, so I'm always in check.
And so Clone Wars and Rebels, Mike. After
yeah,
watch
both.
Rebels,
I'm doing
Rebels,
both.
I think, is a really, really good one. But if you don't want to watch, because there are some filler Clone Wars episodes, the Disney Plus channel has like Clone Wars Essentials.
I saw that. They just released the Ahsoka series, which is all the ones that you're going to need to get to know Ahsoka, because the trailer.
Oh, man, that
today.
Series looks awesome.
Oh, does it ever.
Also, I love that her lightsabers are still white. Like, you know the whole deal with that whole thing? Like, so.
Well, she's not a Jedi.
That's
she's
right.
like a gray Jedi, basically.
That's right.
Like, she's neither light
She serves the light. She just serves good. She serves the good, but she's not in the way of the Jedi.
So yeah. She doesn't have a color of green or blue because she's not in the Jedi reign.
And she's not.
But she's not evil.
And she definitely doesn't have purple because she ain't no Sam-El.
No, right. Yeah, no. It's a neutral color. White is a neutral color, so she's... it's literally
what
like...
What about blue? What does blue do?
I don't know if you guys know, but just to go back, because you mentioned Samuel L. Jackson's lightsaber, his lightsaber is actually a Sith lightsaber, but he's the only Jedi strong enough to control a Sith lightsaber.
That's right, and it mimics the
purple,
color, right?
Purple is, yeah.
That
purple
was,
and red are Sith colors.
That's
that
right,
was one of the lightsabers
right.
you could make at the experience, too.
Get out of here. That's cool.
And they get the bone claw at the end for the bottom of the
bone.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it
that's
was.
Cool.
And it was purple.
I want to go
that's
so cool. bad.
Yeah.
Last week's episode has got me, like, even Shauna, who's, like, part-time Star Wars, right? Like, she loves Grogu. She loves the cuteness. She looks over at me every time, and she's like, that's all we care about.
It's just a baby. Like, he has this response. It's a baby.
Can we talk about, I mean, fucking Lizzo did not disappoint.
Oh, and Jack, I did not expect
Jack
that.
Jack Black was awesome.
So funny. He was great.
Captain Bombardier.
They were both awesome.
Yeah. She committed to it.
Christopher Lloyd. Shout out to Christopher
Lloyd.
Oh,
my God.
Fuck yeah.
And you know what's funny? I looked at Clyde and I'm like, I know he looks rough, but I'm like, he's got to be a bad guy in some way. And then when he was, I burst out laughing.
There were some clunky scenes, like when we see who's the Mandalorian who's on the ship that Bo-Katan convinces to come back into the fold. Wolf something? Z-Wolf?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah.
The hunk guy. When his mission is to go back a prince.
Yeah.
The Mon Kamari prince.
Yeah.
And
that
scene where the Tannic, I was like, what is this? Is this supposed to be a joke? Is this supposed to be like sincere love?
It's not a trap.
It's not. I still love that the episode before was
a trap.
When they say, it's a trap, and then they go to the Mon Kamari.
Yeah.
It's the best. Thank you. It serves all of its purposes. And now it's doing even more heavy lifting, which I love. All in all, like,
Can I say this to you, Mike, because you're doing the Clone Wars show?
Yeah.
Imagine there's an episode that focuses on the Mon Cala race, the planet of Mon Cala. So
cool.
With Jedi, and they are a water people. So just imagine what that is like.
That's cool.
I give it the whole series so far, like 9 out of 10 darksabers.
Cool.
For sure.
I really want that fucking darksaber, but it's like $400. I'm like, no.
If I split it with you, we can treat it like
have a schedule.
We can have a schedule like divorced parents.
Yeah. I get weekends.
Do you want weekends? I'll take weekdays.
Yeah, there you go.
How much time do you want this summer?
I will. I know we're going to talk about more. I just will say I am happy. I love the show, but I'm happy that they are officially
branching out.
Well, Disney is finally acknowledging that it is kind of like Star Wars, the show. So they're finally acknowledging that they're going to be getting it back, like, in a more direction. And then that's going to also explain, like, more with the Ahsoka show, which looks so cool.
Well, they're getting an MCU treatment, right?
Yeah,
that's what Filoni's been building forever.
But he's got so he's not deviating. He may have taken some unfamiliar turns to surprise you, but he's not deviating from core lore.
Yep.
I just want to ask. So we saw the Ahsoka trailer.
Yeah,
that's Ray Stevenson that has like
that's
Punisher,
Ray Stevenson.
Punisher 2.
Yeah, that's Ray Stevenson.
Okay, as a Sith Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Ray Stevenson.
Yeah, I got chills with that because I love him as a bad guy. I think he's such a great bad guy.
He's so fucking big.
He's
such a big
and
man.
I like him with that big beard.
Right.
Yeah, Ahsoka trailer yet? I've been hit over.
Oh, you didn't know it came out today?
Give me 2 minutes. Can we just mark this and take 2 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's great.
Time out.
I'm just gonna watch it. Sorry, guys.
No,
watch
it.
Take your time.
I've watched it like 3 times because I don't know. Like, I'm like you, Mike. Like, I don't know. I know the Clone Wars from the movies. Like, I'll admit, I haven't really watched the Clone Wars animated show. I haven't watched the animated movies. I just know the movies. So, like, when that dude showed up that Martin was talking about, the purple dude.
Like Grand Admiral Thrawn? No, the one in Rebels. Okay.
I haven't seen Rebels either.
Thrawn's blue. My bad, everybody.
Yeah. Well, even when that blue guy showed up in Boba Fett.
Remember,
I think it was in Boba Fett. He was from Clone Wars. Remember, it was like the Western. He was like a cowboy guy.
Yeah, with
all
the weird
black
teeth.
Yeah, the pipes. He had like pipes.
I know
what
you're talking about.
So these were things that like the internet filled me in on because I didn't know those characters. But I'm like, that is really cool. That it's that canon. Right.
I just, again, my problem, my snobbery is animation always gets in the way.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I'm such a feature fanatic that animation just loses me because I regress back to being a kid and I'm all over the place and I'm not really giving it the respect that some of these stories get. So this morning I started it and was like, oh, this is right where this this is between Clone Wars and Revenge.
Yeah. And it's cool because it's prime like Clone War time.
It's prime Clone War time. Do we use droids? Do we use clones?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when do this is when the clones go bad, I gather.
Yeah.
When the Jedi and the
It's building up to Order 66 and everything.
And then Bad Batch is right after Revenge.
Yes.
It's
the fall.
Order 66 is in full game.
Because the Bad Batch aren't doing Order 66.
They're not?
No. That's why they're the Bad Batch.
Sorry. No, but the Order they're the rejects.
They're the rejects. So when Order 66 went down, they didn't do it. Because they're the rejects of the program.
That's so
cool. They're the Bad Batch, according to the Empire. That's why the Empire, according to the Empire, they're the Bad Batch. They're the rejects. So in Order 66 happened, they have the training, but they didn't do it because they're not stormtroopers. So it's kind of neat.
It's so neat.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool perspectives and stuff.
It's somebody making old school stuff with new school toys.
Yeah.
So as long as I get that feeling
that
I'm planet jumping and alien learning and I think he's back. I think he's back.
I have a massive erection.
So it looks so good, hey?
So I'm just going to – we'll talk about it after, but I want to break down the trailer too as well.
I have a lot of
inside stuff that I know about what's going to happen now.
Yeah, man, because I know nothing. Me and Claudia don't know anything. I'm just like, that looks awesome. And when I saw a red lightsaber and what looked like a Sith Lord.
I recommend before you watch it, really watch, if you have time, watch the Clone Wars and Rebels, because this is basically a continuation of the Star Wars Rebels story.
One last thing, too. The game, the new Jedi.
Survivor?
Survivor.
Yeah.
And I'm almost 100% sure it's going to go down in Ahsoka, but it's canon.
Oh, we get Ginger?
It's canon, and Cal Kestis is the main character. It's lining up with Mando's story and Ahsoka Tano's story, timeline-wise. And certain things. I wouldn't be shocked if he makes a live action appearance soon.
For time here, Martin, what'd you watch this week, and then we can get into it. So we can.
Watched a movie about a video game on Apple TV called Tetris.
Oh,
with Taron Egerton, and I will keep this short and sweet because I basically wanted to talk about the two things we talked about already, but a really cool movie. I don't know how much of it is true because when they kind of do
what's the bare bones of it? Because I hear Russia's
the
involved.
The bare bones
somehow?
Is basically so. It's about them getting the rights of Tetris from the Soviet Union. How to sell the rights to sell it across the world.
Yes.
And with the Soviet Union, at that time, it was locked down, right? They didn't want to let anything leave the Soviet Union. But it was it's basically a story of how there's a group of people trying to basically take the rights for Tetris to sell it across the world. And how it became how Nintendo got the rights to get it for the Game Boy and for their system. Basically, because I think Tetris was paired with the Game Boy, remember? So
how that became
to be.
And it became a huge phenomenon.
Yeah, I didn't know there was spies
in Russia.
Coercion and
so worth a watch, Martin?
Definitely worth a watch.
Cool.
I didn't know it was invented in Russia, and that's why it shows the Kremlin, the Soviet buildings in the Tetris game. I'm like, oh, that's why it has that, because it was invented by a Russian.
I didn't even know that. That's hilarious.
Why I was like, oh.
That's cool.
But it takes place right before the fall of the Soviet Union. So I think maybe 88, 86.
Yeah.
So around there. I can't remember when the Game Boy was released, but just basically around just the time before the Game Boy was released is when this movie comes out.
It's Tetris. It's one of the OGs.
Can I say that I thought that was the Taj Mahal?
Oh, you thought it was the Taj Mahal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I could see that too, right?
It was in two tints of green. How could you tell?
it's in shape
and one dimension. That's cool. No, I heard it got mixed reviews, but it's a video game movie. I'm going to watch it.
It's really good.
What's neat is what I like is it's not a making of, but more it's not something you think about, but hearing that story, what the hell were distribution rights with the Soviet Union?
Yeah, and that's what you get.
What the hell was that
There must have been nuclear.
Cold.
Ooh.
That was cold.
Cold fusion is what that was.
like a strong shot of vodka, which just made me
pour it on the wound. Is there lots of Tetris gameplay in it?
They do go over the Tetris gameplay, but I think the majority of it is they talk about Tetris a lot. So it's basically him trying to get the rights, and a lot of it traveling across the world. So you get this, what it follows, this one guy who's basically discovers the game Tetris, and he wants the rights to sell it in Japan. So basically, Whoa. He's fighting for the rights, and then he ends up meeting with Nintendo. Nintendo's like, this is an awesome game, we want to pair it with this system. So it's about them trying to get the rights to that, and he's competing with two other people to get the rights as well. So it's a lot of back and forth, and a lot of it, obviously he has to deal with the KGB because it's the Soviet Union, so a lot of dealing with them as well. So
wow. That's so cool.
Is there a Putin cameo? Because he would have been in the KGB at that time.
But he was working as KGB.
I don't think there was. But they do, like, obviously, like, they are going to put, I think, what's his name? Who was the last? Was it Yeltsin? Was the
Gorbachev?
Last one? Oh, Gorbachev, yeah. Gorbachev was the last one. Gorbachev. The last
birthmark, right? That was the guy.
Yeah,
it was Chernobyl.
Yeah, it was. They do have a Gorbachev in it. Like, they do. He does make an appearance as well. So
that's cool.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
I don't even know the block shape.
Tetris, bro?
Well, yeah.
I give it 8 out of 10 L blocks.
There you go.
L blocks. Nice.
There's L block, square, the straight block.
Line. There's a T.
There's a T. But what's the one that like looks like a...
A Z. A Z.
Is that a Z?
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a Harry Potter lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Or a 2.
Yeah.
A Z? No, it's a Z. Is it a Z or a 2? I can't remember. A backwards Z.
Freaking Tetris. Oh, man.
Were you guys good at Tetris?
No, I don't think anyone is. No, I'm kidding. I was good at Dr. Mario.
I was good at Tetris.
Oh, Dr. Mario.
Which, like, that one, it was just pills, right?
Woo-hoo-wee! When it was just pills. What kind of sick game was Dr. Mario
playing? Kidding. Here, take your pills.
Here you go, kids.
Oh, cool. All right, well, there you go, listener. That's your weekly watch list. You got Tetris, John Wick, and Mandalorian Star Wars Plus from us. If you have any thoughts on the matter, we have a voicemail line where you can be like, hey, Charles, I disagree with you. Or Martin, you're totally right. Or Michael, shut the fuck up. You can say those things. Might not air all of them, but you can say them and we will listen. Link in bio, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is where you go do that. I think it's like the second tab right now. And that's at Real Debaters Pod on Instagram and Twitter and the Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook. Moving on, Charles, what time is it?
Oh, I think it might be debate time.
It's debate time.
At my signal, unleash hell. Push it. Don't push it, I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein, give me a fat beat to beat my buddy's chest.
I know what kind of guy you were. I never would have agreed to work with you.
I'm gonna bark all day, little doggy. I'm gonna bite. What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch you. Would you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
So, as mentioned at the top of the show, we have a pitch-off for you. We have condensed what we normally do into the format of a pitch, which, as Martin mentioned, an elevator pitch gets right to the point. It doesn't fuck around. There's not a lot of room to bullshit. You just have to concisely figure out how to tell Mr. Nick Cage today, which we would have had one had Jimmy been here, because one of us was going to play Nick Cage, but he's in Fargo because he got his passport for the first time.
Oh, what so, a
and he goes to Fargo.
Right?
Yeah.
He goes to Fargo.
All the places to go in the world.
Stick it to you, Canada.
Fargo.
Yeah.
Going to get me some fucking American food. And he's also bringing back me and Shauna smokes and booze because they're there for 48 hours.
KSC buffet.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and they're so cheap over there. So
it's like $50 for a pack of 10.
Oh, my God.
For a pack of 10. So in honor of our first pitch-off debate, Nick Cage has been picked because Martin said, if you skip to this point, that when he picks his movies, he just throws a dartboard at two different movies. He's like, that'll be my next movie. We'll figure that out somehow. So we have done the exact same thing, and we're going to put this on rotation where we pick an actor or an actress, and we continue to do this throughout our life here at The Real Debaters. So the first one up, Nick Cage. The pitch is simple. Three or four lines, I think you said, Martin, under 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes. You're in the elevator. I would say just a few sentences, less than a paragraph.
And then whatever, be like, this is who we kind of think should direct it, maybe starring this. I followed, as normally as I do, I'm very OCD. I followed an actual format, so I'm gonna I'm treating you gentlemen as if you're professionals, and I'm not wasting your time.
It's a world.
Yeah, no, seriously. Imagine if you will. First off is Charles. Give us your treat me as if I'm Nick. Talk to me.
No pressure.
Wow, okay. Oh, that would almost did a Christopher.
Wow, I'm Nick.
That's.
Wow, wrong actor.
Nobody's coming to trivia for impressions.
A B C D. Yeah, that's my Nick. All right, Nick. Can I call you Nick? Is that okay?
It's Mr. Cage today.
Mr. Cage. Okay, Mr. Cage. So, what are the two things that really, you know, Nick hasn't conquered yet? I'd say reality TV. And maybe,
I mean, what the fuck are you thinking?
So I'm thinking probably reality TV and like Ultimate Fighting Championship, you know?
Okay.
Those are like two things that I'm like, wow, Nick Cage really hasn't capitalized on this, and he can. So I pitch you Uncaged, a fully Nick Cage reality show where he gives up acting and becomes the next UFC champion of the world. Uncaged. That's my pitch.
Oh, nice. I like it. Straight into the pigs, right? I like how you really took the dartboard approach there, Charles.
Yeah, I really
like,
did.
Let's see what we do.
I really
and
did.
That's the point of the game is to pick things that you don't normally think would go together, but that's how a lot of Nick Cage, like jujitsu. Like, what the fuck was that? Like,
oh, dude.
Jujitsu is such a fun movie, though.
I was going on his IMDb and I was like, wow, COVID years were fucking like, if, I don't even know if that was the excuse, but it was crazy. Jujitsu? You saw it? Wow.
Yeah.
And?
I couldn't finish it.
It's absurd.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
It's absurd. It's violent. It's blood. Like, it's. I might be confusing this, but isn't that not the one where his balls are blown off or threatened to be blown off? Is that
I didn't finish it, Mike. Not a big part, but he's like a part of the movie. He's not like the main character, but he has a part and he plays this older warrior.
He's a ball cuff like, that will go off.
Oh,
if,
my God.
And so I believe they do blow his balls off at one point.
Oh, like, my God.
I might be confusing this with another Nick Cage movie, but I love the fact that everything's in your title.
Yeah, Uncaged.
Right? And I could see that. Like, what is that? Is that like 12 episodes or like 24 episodes?
Oh, it's as long as he wants it to be. Because okay. I literally, the only reason, like, what speaks to him is it's like literally just the biggest ego stroke for him.
So it's just him trying to be in the UFC?
It's him literally being like, Dana, like, what's the next fight can you get me? And it's him training. And it's Uncaged. He's Uncaged.
Him against Jake Paul.
That's his first.
That's the one thing I would have said. His first opponent. Who's his opponent? Him and Jake Paul.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
That's really good. Yeah.
Or bring back a retired UFC fighter. Like bring back
Chuck Liddell.
Bring back Chuck Liddell. or like George St. Pierre to do like a light.
Oh my god!
Just like a sparring match or something.
Yeah.
And that's his trainer.
Yeah.
One of the old UFC fighters to be his trainer
there
on the show, and then you've got Friction.
This could be a new Rocky series, but it's Uncaged with Nick Cage.
Martin, any questions? Anything you want to know?
I thought it was funny. I thought it would have been like, it would have been good if you like think Rocky, but you are Rocky.
Yeah.
Like, meets a reality TV show. That's what the combining aspect would be. Rocky, but reality TV show.
Yeah.
And reality TV show. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, can I...
Oh, my God.
Can I talk to you like you're Nick?
Of course.
All right. And then Martin can talk to us like we're Nicks. We can be Nick Cage squared. So it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Cage. I've been very nervous about this all week, so I hope this goes well. I thought, you know, we haven't seen him do like real serious drama or a musical for that matter. So I thought about putting him in something along the lines of my title would be The Spotlight of Redemption. The Spotlight of Redemption is about an aging rock star with nothing to lose who finds himself in the wrong place at the wrong time and is arrested for a crime he didn't commit and sent off to Shawshank Prison. While behind bars, he meets and befriends fellow inmate Andy Dufresne, who teaches him the importance of hope and perseverance in the face of adversity. Despite the harsh conditions of prison life, Jack continues to hone his musical skills, performing for his fellow inmates and even catching the attention of a prison warden. As he nears the end of his sentence, he's offered a chance to perform at a talent competition where he catches the eye of a music industry executive. With Andy's guidance and support, Jack is released from prison and begins his journey towards redemption and success in the music industry. Along the way, he faces numerous challenges and obstacles, from the lingering stigma of his criminal past to the pressures of fame and fortune. Three-act summary, basically, guys. Jack finds himself in trouble. Jack befriends Andy. Jack and Andy push for the talent show, just like how Andy pushed for that lawyer to get it, or that guy to get his law degree.
Yeah.
Or his college degree. That's what Andy's doing with Nick Cage, or Jack's character, I should say. That's Nick Cage's character in the film. So we've got Nick as Jack, Tim as Andy, Joaquin Phoenix and Christian Bale as other prisoners, and Helen Mirren as the warden.
Nice.
That's great.
I like Helen Mirren.
Well, this film on the outside is about prison life and broken dreams. Its underlying tones will be about second chances, finding one's inner strength, and righting the wrongs done in the name of bullshit justice systems. That is my pitch, ladies and gentlemen. Nick, what do you think?
Fate, I'm going to pay, Zero.
Wow.
Is he saying, whoa? That's Keanu Reeves.
That's, yeah. Wrong 90s art,
Go ahead, Charles. I'll go second.
Yeah. I mean, when you first told me about this, I burst out laughing.
If we haven't caught it, it's A Star Is Born and Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah,
that's my two combinations.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's definitely like I can't help but laugh and picture Nick in this, and like, yeah, I would love to see Nick in this movie.
Imagine, like, what I imagined was the scene from Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
In the prison scene.
Yeah.
That's where he's
playing. When he plays at Folsom Prison?
When he plays the Folsom Prison.
Are we thinking, like, Nick Cage, Con Air, like, the long hair?
Yeah. Well, if we're basing this around Shawshank, then we're going to do, like, the 50s and the 60s.
Gotcha.
So, like, like a hippie rock singer.
He's a bebop.
Thing. Yeah.
A bebopper.
Yeah.
Kind of look.
Right. Like, very, very hip and cool of the time. I don't know if I want to go long hair Con Air, but I do want to have, some early Nick Cage, like Raising Arizona, maybe.
Oh, my God.
That would be good.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the kind of Nick Cage I want to bring into this.
Gotcha.
Martin, what about you?
My only thing, it was a little long. I think what you should have opened with was Shawshank meets Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
That's what you should have pitched.
Yeah.
Like, with these pitches, Mike, you really want to just give it to the bare bones.
I do like
the idea. But like I said, like, it's an elevator pitch, right? So you should have opened with Shawshank meets Johnny Cash.
Yeah, That's it.
But other than that, good thing. I like Helen Mirren. I like Joaquin Phoenix. I like Raising Arizona, Nick Cage.
Yeah.
But yeah, just get down to the bare minimum. Just make it short and sweet.
Martin.
And I think when you caught me was when you said Shawshank meets Johnny Cash. That's when I was like, oh, I like that.
Moving on, Martin, you want to close this out?
Okay. So, Mr. Cage.
Yeah.
I know.
You've
been waiting for an opportunity to get in the Star Wars universe. So I have a movie for you. How about this? Star Wars meets Pulp Fiction. And I know he's confirmed that he said he's only going to do one movie, but we've signed him on for one more, and Quentin Tarantino is going to direct it. It's going to be called The Kessel Run. And it's stories about the criminal underworld of Star Wars. And you are going to be playing Max Powers, and it's basically going to be a day in the life of a Star Wars gangster.
Huh.
That's the pitch.
Bitch.
What do you think, Mr. Cage?
Fate, I'm going to pay, Zero.
How many
Can we get you in a galaxy far, far away?
How many parsecs does it take to run the Kessel? If you can answer that properly, I'll do the film.
With this one, it'll be under 12.
Under 12, okay. All right. Like, are we...
That's great.
Did you say movie at the beginning, or is this
a... It's a movie. It's a movie.
Okay.
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie. This is going to be Quentin Tarantino's last movie. Because he said he's going to do one more movie, but I think we've got him, so he's going to do this last movie.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do one more movie. I mean, that's the easiest way to market something. I'm only doing one more. Well, okay, I'm coming back for one more.
He's going to make movies.
Five more, and then I'll die.
Even Clint Eastwood pulled that shit, and he didn't stop.
Yeah,
so,
Cry Macho. Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
Max Power, is that... Who is that? Is that someone from Star Wars that I'm...
I just like the name Max Power.
Okay,
it was
sure.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Simpsons, Max Power, you have to strap yourself in and feel the G's.
Max Power. Yeah.
It's like a Star Wars name, Max Powers.
No, that's cool. I love that, and I'm pretty sure Nick would love the opportunity to get into Star Wars.
I want him in Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is a great way to do it. And who better do it than... I want to see a Star Wars gangster movie.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I thought that's what the Book of Boba Fett was going to be. And I'm like, but I want to see Quentin Tarantino, his take on the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, like full on just like gangsters in a...
Like a shady underground world.
Galaxy far, far away.
Playing like dice behind the cantina. And
yeah, playing dice, shooting shit. Like someone blows up Greedo's head. You know what I mean? Like
is Max Power... Is he a fallen Jedi or is he a dark side?
He's just a straight up gangster. Just right. Regular people doing
just on the wrong side of the tracks in a galaxy far away, man.
12.
And there's so many different crime organizations you can choose from for the story.
Yeah, here's the tagline: 12 parsecs away, in an underground world far, far away.
There you go.
That's what you put at the teaser at the end. 12 parsecs away.
What's the drug? I hear if you snort spice, it gets you really
fucked
up.
That's why Kessel. Kessel's
They're snorting spice now.
That's where it comes from. It comes from the planet of the spice mines of Kessel.
That's right.
Gangsters control that planet. So
that's right.
That mine. So
that's great.
I can't not watch this. Like I. You know what? My only qualm. I would like to see this as a series more than a movie. Like the idea to be flushed out and have like 8 episodes like an Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would be fun and you could
That would be a first for Quentin though. I don't think he's ever done TV ever.
I know, but he's doing something. Mm-hmm. He's got a TV series in the works and nobody knows what the fuck
Quentin's
it is.
Quentin's open to anything at
he
this
is.
Point.
He is. He's right. Open if he can get full control of it. That's
he also can get away with it cuz he's like I said last movie, this is a TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quentin and Nick Cage have never worked
together.
I don't believe so. No.
I think they should.
Yeah. Might be too much chaos in a room, so why not put them in space? I like it.
Exactly. Why not make it a Star Wars chaos movie? Like, you know what I mean? I just love... That's what... Like I said, I wanted to see that from the Book of Boba Fett. I'm like, oh, cool. We're going to get the Godfather treatment to Star Wars. And it wasn't. But it was still... I still enjoyed it, but that's what I want to see now that they're kind of expanding with different stories set in the Star Wars universe. Not just like a Skywalker kind of Western, but let's make a gangster movie.
Who better to give us like something so entertaining than Nick with something gangster related?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. That's it. We got a vote. Wish we had Jimmy here.
Voting time.
Let's get Nick on the cage.
All right. Well, Charles, you went first, so you gotta throw your hat in here. Do you want to see Quentin Tarantino and Nick Cage work together?
My
director, by the way, was James Mangold. I forgot to mention.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
How can I not fall for the bait, though? That's so good. Fuck. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Star Wars. Cage Wars.
You really don't want to see.
I didn't say
a
I don't want to
born
see it.
Inside of Shawshank Prison.
I would love to. It's just if
Let's
I only
just
have
get this straight.
Sure.
We all
want
to. I want to see everything we've made today.
Yeah, so I think all of us had great picks today.
You know what? We've got like out of all of the episodes, I'd say a good 40% of them are debates. We've got a lot of ideas that we could just make sketches out of.
Yeah.
If nothing else. Right?
Yeah. Totally.
Like low rent sketches. Okay, my vote. Shit.
It's tough.
Like okay, I'm doing this because it would be the way we could see Nick Cage as Nick Cagey the most and not playing something that Nick Cage makes awesome. Like, this is my problem, is that do I want to see Nick Cage on a Star Freighter? Yes, I do. I think that would be hilarious. Do I want to see it done by Quentin Tarantino? Yes, because it'd be the first time we see blood and violence like we've never seen in Star Wars, right? So
and
that treatment's fucking great.
Star Wars feet.
Oh my god. But like alien feet, right?
Yeah.
It would
have
to be like Bantha feet or something.
Yeah.
Or
just
like
give Nick Cage free reign. That's what I'm thinking. We're giving Nick Cage and Quentin Tarantino free reign to do what they want in this Star Wars movie.
Give them little Jawa feet.
Oh my god.
But I feel we would get a honest and nuanced performance on Uncaged. I feel that we would see Nick Cage learning to fight. Nick Cage, like everything we'd see Nick Cage do, like kung fu on screen and jiu-jitsu, right? We'd actually see him. Can an actor really do this?
Yeah.
So I have to vote for Uncaged because it would be all Cage all the time. There's nothing wrong with Star Wars. I just want to. I want to see it. I want to see a real Cage, uncaged,
uncaged.
So I'm going Uncaged, Martin.
I gotta go with Uncaged as well. I gotta do it. I can't not see this series of him being
Can you imagine him training?
That's what I want to see. I just want to see Nick Cage be a UFC fighter now.
You know what it is? It's the title, and it's just the idea of, like, exactly that is, like, but Nick, it's just you, and it's cameras on you.
Yeah.
Him being uncaged.
Imagine the Kardashian format on you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in trying to drop weight for his first fight.
Yeah, just the whole concept. Like, what is that first meeting with Dana White like?
That's the start of the show. Is right. Like Nick Cage in a limousine on the way to the UFC offices and Dana and him having a meeting.
And him convincing him, like, this isn't a publicity stunt. Like, I want to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do we make this sincere? Yeah. Like, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
I feel light middleweight.
And, like, I think it would be like what's his face? Like Mayweather and McGregor. Like, it would get in. People would actually pay pay-per-view to watch this. Like, Nick Cage versus, like, yeah, like,
well,
a Chuck Liddell or someone coming out of retirement. Oh, yeah, man. People would totally.
I would buy Paramount Plus if this was on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, totally.
That's how much I would want to watch this.
So you can see the prequel. You can see the series, which is uncaged, that builds up to the title fight or whatever they end up giving.
Exactly.
Him. Yeah.
Which is how they used to do the Ultimate Fighter show back in the day.
Yeah, right.
Your contract would be given.
That's right. Oh. So, yeah, it's Ultimate Fighter, but uncaged, just from his perspective, and it's just his show.
Well, I mean, Endeavor, who owns UFC, just bought WWE this week.
Yeah, so that's legit,
I saw that.
That's legit.
Yeah. So it's merging under one company. Wow.
So they're going to have some serious bank.
Tons of money.
I wonder if Endeavor's got the balls to be like...
And the crossover. You know that there's going to be bleeding... Like, WrestleMania is going to have even more ridiculous, insane cameo show-ups now.
Yeah, I'll show you some insane connection between... Because Endeavor is part of one of the biggest agency groups.
Yeah.
Entertainment agency groups.
Yeah.
And they... Like, an entertainment agency group also represents, like, Ben Affleck. Like, it's stupid what that company, Endeavor, has.
So they just have, like, they're loaded.
Yeah, they're loaded. But
can I ask you guys, just because I'm curious, did you guys have, like, alternatives to pitches that you guys, like, were like, I had two other ones that I thought you guys would at least laugh at about.
I didn't have, I did, but I deleted them, so I don't really know them, but I did. You know what? Okay, you go first, because I also pulled some pitches that had been done that we didn't know about that never made it, like, eight horrible pitches that have been released.
Yeah. One I thought that would be just so funny, but, like, I didn't, like, I thought it would be good for a laugh factor, but wouldn't win, was just give him his Superman movie. And, like, do, like, Tim Burton and you have unlimited budget, you guys get your Superman movie, just because it's so funny that was, like, the
almost
Cinderella story
that
never happened. Yeah, and I saw that documentary.
That documentary is great.
It's amazing. It's
the
hilarious.
The guy who did it died, too.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a heart attack.
The other one I was like, hey, I don't think Nick Cage is, as far as I know, he has not done any biopics. And, like you said, he hasn't done any musicals. So the two that I brought together was Tesla, the musical. Nick Cage plays a musical version of Nikola Tesla, the electric Jesus.
That's great. I would have voted for that.
I know,
for
that
sure.
was one of my, that was another one that was one of my, fa- that was my other favorite one. Was
Tesla's
that.
A kooky fuck.
He's nuts. That's why I was like, Nick Cage could just be Nick Cage in a Tesla, like, makeup.
Martin, did you, by the way, Charles is the winner, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Cue music. Martin, do you have any other pitches, bitches?
No, I wanted Star Wars Nick Cage, that's it.
Oh. Yeah, that was great. Okay, but
I was like, this is what I want.
Martin, huge props. This is a great concept, and I love this, like, idea.
Underworld of Star Wars is always going to appeal to me.
Well, all of, like Martin said, all of us brought our A game. Like, all of these were, I would watch all of our pitches. Like, all of them are great.
Mine could have some comedy in it. It could be a drama.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yours is like, again, if he made jujitsu, I can't see him saying no to any of her pitches.
No. He's going to say yes to it.
Yeah.
You're going to be Andy Dufresne's young Padawan. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And then you're going to be the star of the show because a star will be born, Nick.
Also, yeah, I could see him really being down for Star Wars. Like,
you guys want to hear
We don't want to be in it. Come
I know.
On, it's Star Wars.
It's fucking Star Wars, right?
Like, they're getting everybody. Like, Jack Black is in it now. So
I know.
Like...
And you know what's funny? Is, like, remember when they were making the movies and they still, like, you find out Daniel Craig's a random stormtrooper and blah, blah, blah. I love that
and
the
Jason
show's...
Sudeikis. Sudeikis was also a random stormtrooper.
That's right.
So were Henry the boys, the Charles's kids. Henry and...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So much I don't care about royalty. Henry and the other one.
Yeah. Harry and William. Yeah.
They were stormtroopers.
But what I love is now they're at a point where they're like, yeah, no, make Lizzo and Jack Black characters. Like, it's great. They were. I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome.
So here's a quick synopsis of a bunch of pitches that we.
These are legit?
These are legit.
Wow.
Rocketeer sequel starring Alison Brie.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah. Joe Johnson's Rocketeer is an absolute gem of a film. The film drew praise from critics.
Joe Johnson.
Hang on here. Biggle's idea was to take the Rocketeer's pulpy sensibilities and apply them to the 60s in a genius idea, effectively enabling the film to mirror the actual evolution of superheroes from the golden age of comics. As he elaborates in the thread, this Rocketeer sequel would have also poked fun at 60s spy capers with multiple agents turning up to lecture the new lead before dying all sorts of horrible deaths.
Oh my God.
Next one.
That's funny.
Right here. Come on.
I believe Face Off 2 is still a legit thing.
You guys ready for this one?
Let's do it.
Planet of the Apes versus the Nazis.
Get out of here.
Oh, my God.
Get out of here. What does that even mean?
Canuck goes on to say that the film would have been set in Africa with the Americans and Nazis vying for control of an important mineral. The twist would have been the mineral in question, sought out by allies for use in the construction of the first atomic bomb, was also what made the apes hyper-intelligent.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, shocker that they were like, no, we can't make this.
No.
Yeah.
Hulk versus John Carpenter's Thing.
That would have been awesome.
Cool.
Oh, I would have been all over that.
Hang
That's
on here.
That's cool.
Those of keeping up Marvel Comics.
Well, that's a cool crossover thing.
Perception of Jade Giant is beginning to change once again. Al Ewing and Joe Bennett's Immortal Hulk series brought the character back to his horror roots. Bidding Bruce Banner against his alter ego.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, it was something they've been raped straight from John Carpenter's Thing. It's not just doing no replying to Shannon. Yeah, it doesn't really say much.
Nick Cage was the Thing and then Lou Ferrigno was Hulk?
But it looked like it would have been done in the 80s.
Yeah, that totally would have been it. That's hilarious.
Yeah, Lou Ferrigno
against
John Carpenter's
Thing. Totally.
The Stealth 7 prequel, prequel to 7. There would have been a stealth prequel to the original 7 with a huge shock ending, beginning where we watched John Doe all along. Beginning that we were watching John Doe all along.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah, the prequel would have been from his perspective.
That's interesting.
Instead of watching it from Somerset and Mills' perspective.
Right. That's interesting.
What else do we have here?
That's interesting. Wow.
And I mean, like, sure, they sound great in theory. I don't know what that movie is, and I know none of us do either because it's from a time none of us were born. Oregon Trail, the movie.
Oh my God.
Really?
You and the images, you've died of dysentery too. Playing to the legend surrounding the franchise, Ian Shore's pitch for a failed Oregon Trail film would have seen a city slicker stuck in the worst version of Groundhog Day ever.
Oh my God.
As the character tried to complete the Oregon Trail, he'd die repeatedly in various circumstances. Sort of like live, die, repeat, but you know, with more infectious diarrhea.
Yeah. He's dying on a trail?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
The Lost Aliens versus Predator film.
See, I feel like, again, I love, after seeing Prey, I'm like, that's what they should do with, like, Predator
Prey was
and whatnot.
Good. So good.
But
Predator in a time period.
But doing a Predator versus Aliens with Nick Cage as the main human would work so well.
Hang on.
He would just blend, like, he would just elevate the insanity of it, so... Yeah.
This pitch would have been set in the present day and would have featured U.S. and Russian special forces teaming up to find an energy source streaming from a crashed spaceship.
The AllSpark.
Only to find the Megatron. Only to find them to discover both Predators and aliens at the crash site.
Oh, cool.
The film would have also ended with the creation of Weyland Industries, effectively explaining the reason for wanting to capture alien life.
Oh, so it's like a huge prequel. Okay, that could have been cool.
Weyland Industries.
Nice.
Yeah, that could have been really cool.
One more, and then we can move on the news here. The Blade Runner prequel about Roy Batty's origin.
Oh.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Rutger Hauer and how he was,
how he became a sentient android.
Exactly,
Nick.
Blade Runner sequels, prequels, and spinoffs were pitched. One such concept was developed by Sean Keller, who responded to Shannon and Swift's thread briefly detailing their concept for Blade Runner. Keller's story would have depicted Batty before he realizes he's a replicant. He's sent to quell an uprising, but effectively becomes a synthetic Spartacus when he rebels against humanity.
Cool.
That would have been very cool.
That
because
would have been neat.
All those epic lines that he like launches at the end in his big fucking monologue would have a lot more to them.
Yeah, to them knowing like, oh yes, this is why. Yeah. That's cool.
Let's talk about Star Wars again. So as I got up this morning,
yeah, craziness.
It's Good Friday today, and I look over in the chat group, and Charles is like, "There's a bunch of Star Wars shit." I was like, "Okay," and then I go look, and I'm like, "Fucking eight or nine different things."
It was when I saw trailers that I was like, "Oh, these are real."
Yeah,
because at first I'm like, "What is going on? Like, why?" I thought this was like May the 4th shit, like, because it's a Star Wars celebration.
It is. And
yeah.
It's so out of
right.
Like it's a month early.
They never said anything. They didn't say like, "Hey, there's going to be a net." Like they usually build this shit up. Yeah.
So
nothing.
Let me see if I can bring all this up here. So yeah, for we'll go through the IGN link here because they've got the best coverage of it. So for three new live action Star Wars movies from James Mangold, right?
Yeah,
Dave Filoni,
Origin of the Force,
and Charmaine Obaid Chinoy to Daisy Ridley's return as Rey.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the 15. We'll go through this. So the 15 years after Rise of Skywalker will be Rey's film, correct?
Yes, and I believe it's called Star Wars: New Jedi Order.
It's her rebuilding the Jedi Order.
Basically. Yeah,
that's the
She's on the search. Which you'd said you think the Ahsoka series is going to tie in.
My theory is, they're building up because I think it's going to be Rey and Ahsoka that are the future, that are training the new Jedi. And I think that's what's going to make Ahsoka be like, I am Jedi, but I'm teaching it the way that I want to learn. I would have wanted to learn it. So, because, right, like Luke burnt the texts and all
that
shit.
There's so much politics around how the Jedi's trained everybody.
Well, and they can create the new texts. Like, remember, that was a big thing in Last Jedi was they burned everything. Like, technically all the scripture, whatever. Yeah. But like they have a period now where they can now
it's a reset.
It's a new reign of Jedi, so that can mean however they want to teach it. So I could see Ahsoka leading that new, because like really, I would be like, she's the one that we should look at for how to run the Jedi, because she has the right mentality. It's still serving the light. It's still serving the good. But
and she was taught by Anakin.
And she was taught by Anakin. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does
that's
that,
right.
That, and that comes in Clone Wars, I gather.
Well, that's basically what Clone Wars is about.
Yeah,
shut up.
He's
Why am I such an idiot?
He's training her, right? She's his Padawan.
Yeah,
right?
In the first movie, like it started off as a movie. Clone Wars started off as a movie.
That's right.
It was like an hour and a half movie, and it's about Anakin getting Ahsoka as a Padawan, and then the series leads up to them as master and apprentice.
So, Martin, I will say I did watch.
Do not deserve this in my house anymore for not knowing enough.
I didn't watch any of the first seasons, but I did watch just because it was hard not to, because it looks so good. I watched the final season of the Clone Wars.
Oh, that was good.
It
was amazing.
So good.
It's amazing. Especially when you learn about, like, the final season, basically it leads up to Order 66.
Yeah, man.
And has Order 66.
And
it happens, like,
it's so emotional, too.
I don't know if you know this, too. Like, so the Clone Wars, each Jedi basically had their own battalion of clone troopers.
Yeah.
And I think it was Anakin's was the 501st, and they're known with the blue
armor.
Like,
is that why the five?
So that's why in the Mandalorian, it's so heartbreaking, because that's all Anakin's clone troopers killing all the Jedi.
Yeah.
And you have a big attachment to a lot of the clone troopers.
Oh, that
series
just broke my heart right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it was like so hard to watch that. I was like, oh,
well,
I know all the
well, and that's why the 501st, the actual clone trooper group, that is all over the world,
Anakin
is based off Anakin's.
And the
Jedi
games, with Cal Kestis, he's a Order 66 survivor. And his Jedi master sacrificed himself to save him.
Yeah.
So that's, and the first game, Fallen Order, he's been in hiding. He's been closed off from the Force for 6 years.
You definitely have to get that game, Michael, on PlayStation.
I have it.
It's
Yeah, the new one, dude. I
shouldn't
am
be allowed.
So excited for the new one.
This should not be in my house anymore,
dude. It's
I'm
beautiful.
Such a bad.
Have you seen
Star
the
Wars
like? It's probably going to be $1,000. But have you seen Disney's new actual retractable?
I need to know how they made
prototype.
It. I need to know.
Oh my god,
it's
I'm
gorgeous.
Get one.
It's gorgeous. I know. I
they
at
released
Claudia.
It at South by Southwest too.
Yeah, I looked at I looked at Claudia. I was like, it's going to be $1,000, but I need one. Like it's amazing.
Again, it could
it's
be
amazing.
500 if we decide to share.
Yeah,
custody.
It could be right.
Okay, so there's the Daisy Ridley series tying into our Ahsoka theory.
And I'm down.
Yeah,
I like Rey. I thought Rey was a cool Jedi. I'm down for more Rey.
James Mangold. His is a whole Jedi.
It's the High Republic, right? I think
it's before the
Skywalker saga.
Apparently, from what I read,
it's a Jawalker.
The origin of the Force.
Michael
J. White. Michael, yes.
It's the origin story of the Force and the first Jedi to make a connection with the Force.
So it's supposed to be like it's Jedi Year One, basically, is what I heard.
So then we're gonna have proto sabers.
So
I don't know if you know this, but proto sabers they used to have a backpack to power their lightsabers.
I do like Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
don't cross the streams.
Well,
right?
what I'm hoping is that is really cool, and then they can actually finally stop tiptoeing and say, yeah, and we're gonna do the Old Republic. Because if they're going all the way back to Year One, then they should be able to do fucking Old Republic.
So
hang on here. I wanna get this right. Filoni's is New Republic as well, and is a big deal for Filoni. Integral part of Star Wars for many years will be the first live action films. But Filoni's is Mandalorian New Republic.
Yeah,
where Mangold's is Jedi New Republic.
It's, yeah, but it's like also like year like again,
yeah,
it's
sorry
like,
year
yeah,
one. Yeah,
yeah, it's like Year One. So we're gonna see like
sorry.
How...
New, yeah, I'm confusing the two. New Republic is the breakaway. The
and
new,
what Mangold is or what sorry what Filoni's doing is he's making a movie that is going to. It's going to be the final chapter. It's going to be the concluding chapter in Grogu and Jin's story.
Yes.
And then the idea
which is part of the New Republic, correct?
That is correct, yeah. And then the idea is that from what it sounds like, the Mandalorian is going to continue as the Mandalorians. And follow Bo-Katan and the new... Because right now what we're seeing is the Mandalorians are building up their home, like they're getting a presence again.
They're
getting a home planet.
They're retooling.
Yeah.
They're given sovereignty. They're being respected.
Right.
They are bridging the gap of the old and the new way.
Right.
Where she's allowed to march among
them
with her helmet off.
You walk amongst the both worlds is what she said.
She's seeing. So, and that's.
They explain this in the Clone Wars series. So basically the way the Mandalorian
really
society worked during the Clone Wars was they were an actual planet. They were a race of people. They didn't like the sect, which they called, I guess it was based off of, they were called Death Watch basically, or Sons of the Watch now that they're called, or Children of the Watch. So Death Watch was basically a sect that basically was like the old way, very warrior focused, but the actual place where Bo-Katan comes from wasn't like that. They were more evolved, more civilized, more peaceful. And Bo-Katan's sister was actually the Duchess. She was the leader of, the Mandalorian race at the time of the Clone Wars. And who also was in love with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's a love triangle.
So that's cool.
They explore that relationship. And Obi-Wan was always conflicted because he was a Jedi and couldn't have emotions and attachment. But there was always like this love between them because he met her when he was a Padawan.
Whoa.
And they've always had like this kind of link.
Wow.
That's how Bo-Katan comes in the whole series. And that's how Bo-Katan knows Obi-Wan. She knows like a lot of the Jedi. She knows Ahsoka as well, and that's how they all know each other.
So cool.
When you think about everyone we know from 1.0, you don't know Yoda's backstory. You don't know Obi's backstory.
Right.
The only backstory you have an idea of is Luke at the time.
Yeah, Luke and Leia.
And then even when you go into 2.0, 1, 2, and 3, you still don't know anything about Obi-Wan or Yoda. These new things we're doing are intersecting with backstory of characters that they couldn't do in those movies that they're now like, all right, if this is where Anakin is, we're going to go behind Anakin with Ahsoka and this love story with Obi-Wan, like all this cool shit that you just can't do in a movie that you can now do in a world of multiple episodes. That's fucking awesome.
And what's brilliant is again, like I haven't even like, I saw the final season, but I haven't fully seen all of Clone Wars to fully appreciate it. But what I love about it, I think, part of what makes me love Ahsoka Tano so much is not only is she fucking so cool, but she is one of the most conflicting storylines, even so more than Luke, was she had a connection with Anakin that even Luke never knew. No. Right? So, and she's survived Order 66 that her fucking master basically orchestrated, right? So
watch Rebels. I'm just going to say watch
Rebels. Watch
Rebels,
right? Yeah.
Rebels basically takes place, like I said,
right after
it takes place. Yeah, maybe a few years after, but it takes place right before the Skywalker series.
Okay, yeah,
and Ahsoka is in it.
Yeah,
and that's where she learns what happens to her former master.
Yeah, because so then it's from Rebels because I did see a clip and it was a YouTube cut where she goes to where like it's like a snow. It's all like snow, and she, I guess Vader left the lightsaber. He buried a lightsaber. Or no, she did. She buried a lightsaber there, and Vader goes like years later, and the Force kind of brings him towards
it. That was the end of the Clone Wars cartoon.
Oh, it was. Okay, so that's what it was. So I watched that. Yeah. That's what it kind of reminded me of, because it's like, and it does a lot of emotional like
foreshadowing and parallel storytelling that is so well done. And it now it makes sense why when Ahsoka sees Luke in, I think it was Boba Fett.
Yeah, it's Boba Fett. Yeah. That's when they showed them together.
You understand the emotion that Ahsoka is feeling when she's looking at Luke. And she says, like, you remind me so much of your father. And it's like, oh my God, Luke doesn't even understand what that means.
What is he talking about?
Yeah, right? Like, it's crazy, man. It's so, and
well,
that's
what she says. Like, how do you know them? I'm a friend of the family.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
You guys
right,
want, listen to this. Filoni was the creator of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, an executive producer, episodic director, and writer on The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. the Book of Boba Fett, and is the creator and executive producer of Ahsoka.
Yeah.
That is a fucking resume.
Well, when it basically got to the point that, I hate to say it, but Kathleen Kennedy had no idea what she was doing.
No, still doesn't.
They brought in Favreau, and the first thing Favreau said, and apparently that's what was part of the deal, was Filoni had to be a partner on everything with him. Writing, consultant, producing, everything. And
like,
that was the best decision.
Like, kept the Star Wars franchise afloat for the longest time.
Yeah, like Filoni.
With his Clone Wars cartoons and Rebels.
And
like, it was so good.
And what's crazy is these execs at Lucasfilm were giving him, they're like, yeah, you get animated, bud, do whatever you want. But really, they should have been giving him what Disney's doing now, right? Is control on everything. Not just animated, but your live action, everything. Because this guy is like a Kevin Feige in the terms of, like, he's a mastermind. Like, he knows how to bring it all together.
Hot take. Dave Filoni and Kevin Feige need to wear more clothes in their closets. That's all I'm saying. Stop dressing.
I love the Filoni thing. He's a full-on cowboy.
I love the cowboy hat.
That's so
the cowboy
great.
Hat can stay.
It's so funny.
But just, like, these guys look like everybody wants to be fucking Steve Jobs.
Hey, man.
With the turtleneck and the New Balance shoes. And you know what that screams? That screams sociopath. That screams broken human being. That screams someone who's like, I don't have enough time to change because I'm so busy. I just need one outfit. It's fucking weird. Kay?
Feige is, for all we know, a cyborg. Remember She-Hulk? Like, Kevin is probably ChatGPT.
Yeah.
He's your ChatGPT right now.
Change your fucking clothes, Kevin. Cap Maybe not so much Filoni because Filoni's funny, but like, Feige has no personality. He's Roy Batty.
Because he has too many secrets going on in his head at all the time. He's like, I already know what X-Men 3 is going to be, and I can't even say who the cast is yet.
I can't talk about anything. So, Martin, you took your two and you caught the Ahsoka trailer. What'd you think?
Ooh.
Yeah.
You said boner.
I'm excited because, like I said, this season of The Mandalorian is basically building up to the Ahsoka series. So the girl with the purple hair, that's Sabine Wren. She is part of the Rebels.
Cool.
So basically, story of Star Wars Rebels is there was a Jedi that survived Order 66. they show him in The Bad Batch. Freddie Prinze Jr. plays him.
Okay.
But he survives in the first episode of The Bad Batch. That's the story of him surviving Order 66. Like, his master sacrifices herself to make him live, and he becomes he's a Jedi. he forms like a team with a couple like they're pirates or smugglers. I can't remember.
Scoundrels.
But, it's like, yeah, it's so
scruffy looking nerf
herders. Of smugglers, and it's basically the story of the birth of the Rebel Alliance is Rebels. So Sabine Wren is part of that crew. She's a Mandalorian exiled. She's the one who originally finds the Darksaber.
Okay.
Gives it to Bo-Katan and gives it to Bo-Katan.
Who is Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Green girl.
That's Hera Syndulla. She's the daughter of like a famous general from the Clone War days Rebels.
Is her mom the one that gets gunned down in like Episode 3? Like, because there's a species that looks like her as a Jedi.
I think that was the mom from what
that's
I remember.
Right. Okay.
Basically, like that was the kid. So that kid is her in the Clone Wars movies.
Crazy.
She's grown up in Rebels. She falls in love with Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character, and they're a couple.
Cool.
And they also have a kid named Jason, I think, which is like. So basically, yeah, that's the whole thing of them. And then it's them basically finding a lost Jedi, basically Ezra Bridger, who was the apprentice of Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, you mentioned this guy a while back.
What the Ahsoka series is going to be about, finding them. And also, we're going to get to see one of the greatest villains in the Star Wars universe, Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is the villain in Rebels, but we're going to see a live-action version of him because we'll never actually see him die.
Well, and he also gets mentioned in next week's Mandalorian teaser trailer, where Moff Gideon actually says Thrawn's name.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And he's
so we're searching for him, and he's like one of the most.
So you're getting
outside of Vader and the Emperor, he was like one of the most feared villains in the
Empire.
He's
blue, right? Ever. He's like a blue.
That's time link connection because if we're talking about Thrawn and Mandalorian, we're talking about Thrawn and Ahsoka. These are either linear, following each other, or same time.
So this Thrawn, General Thrawn, because again, like this is new to me. I assume
talk
they haven't
to him.
Even
I don't know.
They haven't even announced casting. Like this is a surprise, right?
I thought they did announce casting. I can't remember if they did.
Well,
or
maybe
did,
they've announced.
I saw a lot of fan art of Benedict Cumberbatch as him, but I believe it was always fan art. Like a lot of fans were.
Did you?
Yeah.
Can I just say how, like, cinematically, and get nerdy for a second? How beautiful that trailer looked!
Oh, it looks like
so
a movie.
Great.
It looks like a movie.
Well,
so
okay.
Did you notice the Mandalorian helmet at the beginning? With the girl with the purple hair. She's looking down at the table.
Yeah.
There's a Mandalorian helmet.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that's Sabine Wren. And they're like, she was, okay, so her family was part of, because you know the Paz Vizsla, the guy, the big Mandalorian?
Yes. Yeah.
Her family was under their, like, their kind of lineage. They were kind of the same
Paz
Vizsla. Clan. Cool. Under the same clan. So there's like, it's all linking together with different things.
We got to get a Star Wars name generator going so we can all refer to each other as a Star Wars name.
I want a tree of all the like, no. That's so cool, man.
Do a 23andMe of Star Wars.
And then too, like the way Rebels ends is, you're going to watch it. I'm just going to sound like, the way it ends is basically, it ends with Sabine Wren, a picture of Sabine Wren. Like it shows her on the planet of Lothal, which is where they first found Ezra Bridger. So that's his home planet. But it shows where he used to live. That I don't know if you saw that tower kind of with the green fields.
Yeah.
That's where they found Ezra. That's where he used to live. And it's basically, it ends with her looking at a picture that she made of their whole crew, which is now split up. But it shows her and then Ahsoka coming in her ship being like, it's time to go to work. We got to find Ezra. So it takes place. There's a big gap between the end of like the one of the last scenes of Rebels to like the end where it's like a... They don't show basically what happens in the Skywalker saga, but they ends
So right after. So you think Ahsoka is going to kind of continue that?
That's what I think. That's what the Ahsoka series is going to be about. Her continuing.
It's gonna
start there and then continue.
Dude, I'm just excited to see like we're getting going back to a time where they're like Jedi. We're getting a reign of
all,
Jedi again.
It's all post return.
Cool. Yeah,
it's all post return.
Which is what we wanted to see.
Yeah, because if the Empire always returns, and so should the fucking Jedi, right? Like that's the whole point.
You can't have good and bad without one of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's like, math.
No, I'm excited. It's cool. It just looks great.
But the new Sith is. I don't know a lot about the new Sith. I think we're going to see the Inquisitors.
Ray Stevenson.
From Obi-Wan, we're seeing the Inquisitors come back as well.
Yeah, Inquisitors are starting to. Yeah, that's right. They're starting to become. Back.
Well, and what's his face from Andor, Skarsgård's character? Is he Jedi as well?
Yeah,
we don't know. That's the big mystery, right? Yeah. We don't know what
I think
he
is. I think he is.
I think he's Jedi.
I think he is.
And we see, what's her name, from Andor, Mon Mothma's character return as well.
Yeah, we do. She's in a hologram, for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
As soon as I saw Ray Stevenson, I've seen him, in a Hitman movie.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen him in Punisher 2.
Punisher 2.
The Irish.
It's
the Irish.
He was the hitman for
the mob.
Irish.
Yeah. Paint the
fence
guy.
It was before they did The Irishman with Robert
this
De Niro.
Is that story.
They did a movie with him.
Yeah. But
he
I just
really
the Iceman.
There's that one too.
Yeah, yeah.
I say this as platonically as possible. I love a big man. I love a big impending dude who comes in and kicks shit out of every like. I feel taken care of like a reacher, right?
Yeah.
Like reacher size, Ray size. I think that's
fun. Again, I'm such a nerd for the classic like Sith Lord versus Jedi. I love it. I think Ahsoka's such a wicked Jedi character. So
and where there's a Sith,
that's
always too
right. So that's what I mean. And I love this idea of like I don't know. I just love that we're getting really good talent, really good writers. Like you guys said, it looks beautiful.
It looks great.
Yeah,
it
like
looks awesome.
Well, and
it's cool.
Hey,
it's
here,
cool.
Let's tie this into Winnipeg for a second here. Shout out to Niverville.
Yeah,
and Juliet, I always pronounce your last name wrong. I think it's Hagapoin. I'm sorry. Juliet from Juliet Inc. Studios. The show, Mandalorian, is shot on the Volume Wall.
Yes.
And the Volume Wall is an Industrial Light and Magic project.
Yeah.
And the volume wall, for a listener, is what replaces green screen, essentially. Green screen is you put a green screen there, you film around it, everybody's jumping around on big green blocks. I'm sure you've seen this. I'm not telling you anything new.
This thing is wild.
This thing says you don't need to do that anymore. You build a wall of LED screens, and you put, with Unreal Engine, shout out to Unreal Engine.
Unreal Engine 5 they're using right now.
So you can take the world of Ahsoka and put it on this screen. Yeah. And then the actor turns around and goes, "Oh, I'm on Navarro."
It's like, it's a live render of an environment.
And then, we need to go to another planet, wipe the screen, reload Unreal.
Dude, they're even doing it to a point where, like, for instance, if they did Sin City when they had this, they could have Mickey Rourke on the screen, so you could actually just, like, he's not in the studio, but he's on the screen and he'll be doing the line. Like, we filmed his part already, we're gonna edit it in the screen. You just do it directly to him, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's doing that. Like, it's crazy.
So
it's
Neverville nuts. And Juliet's company and Volume Global have all gotten together. And Manitoba will have not a volume screen, gentlemen, listener, but the most recent update and version of the tech outdoing what exists in New York, Toronto, and the one that Disney is shooting The Mandalorian on. The screen... 20 minutes outside of Winnipeg, we'll be able to do exactly what you see on Mandalorian.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's a $30 million screen.
Yeah, they said they don't have exact measurements at this point, but it's pretty wild. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's a big, massive screen. It curves so that it can actually have depth of, like, environment and everything.
Yeah, like, so your light's not, like, your light is absorbed instead of its bounce. It's fucking nuts technology.
I just want, if we're giving shout-outs to Canada in terms of production, I just want to give a shout-out that Last of Us Season 2 will be filming in Vancouver in August.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So we expect you to, like, rush sets and fucking get us videos and stuff.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
If I run into Pedro Pascal, I will let you
know. Yeah. Yeah.
That dude's going to be about town. There's no way he's not. He's such a fucking happy, fun guy.
It's very cool. Like, that's a wicked shout out, Martin. I read that and I'm like, very cool. I love that they're just staying within Canada. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Stupid that Manitoba fucked that up. But
hey, we don't
at least it's still Canadian and it's staying in Canada. So that's cool. I'm also very excited for that. That'll be really...
Canadians make big fucking shows, people. You'd be surprised how much...
Well, and not only that is, like, it's neat because of the fact is, like, you look at it and you're like, yeah, it makes sense to film this in Canada. Like, we have more of these set pieces than it would... Like, it's easier to find the set pieces they need in Canada than they would in the States.
To new listener, we have interviews with these people that I've sat down with and talk to about such films being made here in our hometown of Manitoba. So if you want to know, like Sarah Paulson has shot shit in Manitoba.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I mean, Jennifer Lopez, yeah, we all know she was here for that fucking movie.
Oh, yeah,
but
that was like 1,000 years ago.
You know, whatever. And then there's, like, you know, Capote, which is fucking unbelievable. But
we have the highest tax credit refund, I think, in Canada right now, right? Or maybe North America, I think?
You could say North America.
Yeah, I think it's North America.
We're bigger than Georgia.
Yeah.
And Georgia's where
the next bigger than U.S. Steel.
Yeah, bigger than U.S. Steel, baby.
Yeah.
It's 65%.
It's huge.
So if you didn't know that out there and you're a producer / studio company wanting to shoot Manitoba, can get you 65% tax credit, and no one paid me to say that.
Oh, I was going to say, Martin, you can be that guy. There's somebody already in Alberta going around, and you know that I see it on Instagram. It's they take a photo of the scene, like they have a photograph of the scene from the movie.
Oh, and then
they're in the real setting.
Yeah,
so
dude, do that.
They're doing that with The Last of Us Season 1 around Alberta right now, and it's pretty cool. So I was like, Martin, man, you can already start doing that in Vancouver when you find out.
I'm excited, man, to see what they're going to do. Because, like, Vancouver is basically – because the second game takes place in – a bunch of it takes place in Seattle,
yeah,
right?
Like,
so
the majority of it.
That's why Vancouver is kind of like a mirror city of Seattle.
Totally.
So it's kind of perfect for that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. And I think, like, they're going to rebuild the Jackson set, which they can do, like, you know, out in Whistler if they need to. Like, literally, it's not – it's genius where they're – it's exactly what you said. Like, Seattle is – yeah. Yeah, I know. It's going to be cool. But no, I'm blown. Star Wars, man. I'm blown. Oh, it's so random.
I am so
excited. They took, like, Good Friday and they're like, let's make Star Wars Good Friday.
So,
oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. And I like that they're doing with the movies. They realize, they acknowledge that making them all like Skywalker saga, all episodes, do the Rogue One approach. They're just stories.
So they're kind of filling in the gap so that they make
exactly
everything
the last
be
trilogy
Andor.
At least a little more like, oh, I could see it now.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? It doesn't come out of left field.
Yeah.
But also just this, I don't know if you guys noticed the orange droid, the R2-D2-like droid.
in the Ahsoka trailer.
Oh, the arms flying in the ship?
So that's Chopper. He's in Rebels. He's one of the best droids. Imagine R2-D2, but if he was a bigger dick.
Oh, that's Chopper. Funny.
It's hilarious.
That's funny.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, and then the ghost is the ship that they fly.
Yeah.
That's the ship in Rebels. That's like their kind of...
Oh,
that's one
cool.
of the iconic ships.
That's
of Star Wars. And you can see the ghost in Rogue One.
Oh, cool.
You can see the ship. And also in Rogue One, they say they paged actually the girl who plays I can't remember what her name who plays Syndulla. I can't remember what her name is now.
That's okay.
Hera, the green girl, the guys.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Yeah, her character. They page her in Rogue One. You can hear General Syndulla going.
Oh.
That's her getting paged in Rogue One in the background. So that's a lot of little hints. About this
cool,
in the movies.
I know what I'm
watching. I love this shit. See, and this is what I love about TV and Star Wars is they can now expand on things that would take so long and why movies wouldn't work is because, like, why, like, the movies are crowded with too much shit sometimes and whatnot. No, a lot of these storylines work as a TV show, but then I love the idea of a movie. These characters show... It's like MCU. You can do a movie where these characters show up, and if you're like, what? Moon Knight? It's like, yeah, if you want to learn about it, go watch a show. Or if you don't, just see him in the movies, right?
Well,
like,
and Filoni's clearly arguing, except he's doing it right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's cool, man. I love it. And again, the idea of seeing Rey 15 years after Rise of Skywalker, I'm down.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're jumping that point where we can get over a lot of the complaints, where we can stop talking about that, because that's a bookend right now. And that's the last thing. So if we can jump 15 years, give a little bit of backstory on Rey. Rey can pop into Ahsoka maybe, if that's the case.
Yeah.
And you can...
Anything is possible, Mike.
Right?
Yeah.
Anything is possible.
But you get an original Rey story with a rebuild of the Jedi instead of us always going back to Papa Luke.
Yes.
I don't have a green sword. Mine's blue for a reason.
Well, you're a Padawan.
Right? I'm not a... No, it's Obi's blade.
Yeah, Padawan is blue, and then green is
Jedi
Knight.
Yeah, so, well, no, fuck. It's just Obi-Wan.
No, they're all just colors. I think, so green was, with the way it works with colors, green was more of people who wanted to study the mysteries of the Force. So, like, people who wanted to do their education and study the ways of the Force.
Oh.
Yeah, I also have a robe, motherfucker.
More,
I'm Obi-Wan.
Blue was more of, like, they were the guardians of peace and justice.
Oh.
Like, those
I thought blue was,
warriors.
Like, Padawan, and then green was, like, Jedi Knight.
Oh.
No, they all had different color blades.
You're right, because in the Clone Wars...
Just depending on which specialty of Jedi you want to go to.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, that makes more sense. And then with Sith, it's, like, the darker the red, the more evil, essentially, you are.
Yeah, because you take the way a Sith blade is made is you take a Jedi crystal
and
you
corrupt
it with the Force so that it turns red.
So and this is what's interesting. Kylo Ren's flickered
because
it was a shitty blade. It was because he was still conflicted with the dark side. He was evil, but he was still conflicted with himself.
Oh, interesting.
That's what apparently they're saying. That's what is being said. Is they wanted to clear up that like it's not shoddy workmanship.
It wasn't malfunctioning.
It's that, and also if you look. His red is brighter than Vader's and, like, Palpatine's. Palpatine's is, like, a darker, solid red. His flickers, and it's lighter because he's still... That's why when Harrison, like, when Han Solo shows up, he's like, damn it, Dad! And he's, like, a kind of a frustrated kid. You know what I mean? And then after he kills him for the rest of that series, he's like, and it's killing him. But someone who's actually evil would not be conflicted, right?
That's true. I also took Shauna.
I thought that was neat.
I took Shauna to the theater when that came out, and she got up to go to the bathroom just before that.
Right when that happened.
I was like, shh,
that's
sit
one
back
of those moments where it's
pee.
Like, what did I miss? And you're like, well, he's dead.
All right, listener, thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If this is your first time, subscribe, like, follow, whatever you're listening to this on your podcast player. Make sure we show up in there. It's a free way to support the show. You don't have to spend any money because we'll always be free. But the more subscriptions means the more we rise, which means if you like the show and you want to support us, subscribe. And we're there every week. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Obviously, the more the people you follow us there, the more you'll know about what's going on the show, all of our live events, things like Charles and Martin's comedy and Charles's channel and whatnot. So at Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram. The Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook and at Real Debater RD YouTube Shorts on YouTube. As I forget that we actually put shit on YouTube now. All the clips of the show and other fun things we've done that are live are up there. Charles's version of our first Comic-Con is going up there shortly, so that you guys can see what a live debate looks like. And then I'm going to fuck around with last year's Comic-Con. It's easier just to cut shorts. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Guys. I mean, we're a small crew, so.
I'm almost done. It's like it's because it's longer. It's
I don't care.
40 minutes, but I'm almost done our cut of our Halloween
Comic-Con. You take as long as you need,
and
man.
And it's pretty fun. It's pretty great.
Mark made me a skateboard. For like, because we never
we
sold,
did.
Yeah, we never sold them, but yeah. he made me a skateboard with Real Debaters logo on it.
Oh, that's great.
He made it for my birthday last year.
Oh, that's wicked.
He brought it to my birthday. Then he took it home to finish it, and it still hasn't made its way here.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't care how long it takes.
Art takes time.
It does. I get it.
And it takes
can't
the time
rush art.
It needs.
You can't rush art.
That's right.
So, yeah, follow us, like, subscribe. April 27th, live from Little Brown Jug, movie trivia. Martin's home for the 21st, right, Martin?
Yep, 21st. I'll be at Howard Johnson basement.
Hojo basement. So follow all the shit, and thank you for listening, mostly. That's the best part. I have been Bo-Katan.
Oh, I'm uncaged.
I have, damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
All right, listener, watch all the movies. So bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies.